The other comment I heard is Tanya talked about texting and saw a bumper sticker that said, "Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet him." In one episode of a TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond, Ray's father, the irascible guy, wants to eat a piece of cake which Marie just finished decorating. Marie tries to tell him the cake is for the company that's coming for the party. And Frank, Raymond's father, complains. And he reminds Ray reminds Marie that the party is for his own birthday and he wants his cake now. When my own wife is preparing for a party at our house, I'm pretty much barred from the kitchen because I'm a poacher. It is a party, isn't it? I agree with Frank. Now, I also remember my grandmother. Her name was Mary. And when we had a party, she was always busy in the kitchen, and we never saw her until it was time to eat. Even then, she never sat at the table with us, but continued to work hard to serve us. When I went away to college, I was told my grandmother couldn't wait for me to come home for the holidays or during the summer breaks. But instead of sitting down with me and talking, she was in the kitchen preparing food. So I never really had a chance to talk much with her. She was so very full of love, and her love was shown very simply by cooking and serving us. In today's story, we have two women, sisters. They may not have gotten along very well with each other. In Luke's Gospel, we have stories about many women, and they're unique in the literature of that time. For that reason, some scripture scholars feel that perhaps the author of the Gospel may have been a woman. Or other academics hold the opinion that perhaps Luke's Gospel was written by a physician who cared for women and therefore had a privileged insight into women and their issues and the women's place, most importantly, in society of that time. Luke's Gospel is singular in the women's story of the birth of Jesus. And so we also read of women in many other passages of Luke. Jesus cured Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He raised the son of a widow. He forgave the sins of a woman who wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. He cured Jairus' daughter. He told the story of the persistent widow and also the story of the widow who gave all she owned at the synagogue. And, of course, the story of the women who came to the tomb early in the morning while the men hid in the upper room. Luke tells us that Jesus traveled with Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Cus, who, by the way, was Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many other women. It's generally accepted that Luke's Gospel and the book of Acts are really volumes 1 and 2 of the same book. The book of Acts and Luke's Gospel also mentions many women and their roles in the church. Today's passage, we focus on two women, Martha, and Martha was the homeowner. There was no male homeowner. And Scripture tells us that this story probably took place in the village of Bethany. And we are told that while Martha was cooking, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. A teaching rabbi would sit in a chair, and it was common practice for the students, the learners, the disciples, to sit at the feet of the teacher. The disciples would learn by listening and then by discussing the subject with the teacher. And in this passage, all we know is that Mary sat apparently in silence. And by the way, it was not uncommon in small groups for men and women together to surround the rabbi. In large gatherings, I have learned that it is not a common practice. Mary's house was probably a poorer home because there was no mention of servants and evidently no separate women's quarters. And again, Martha was the homeowner. The word used in the Greek translation for providing, used in the Gospel, has the root of deacon in it. And a deacon is a person who serves and provides. So Martha was providing as a deacon would provide. And we are told, of course, that Martha and Mary were sisters. What I find curious is that Martha, the homeowner, does not go to her sister Mary to complain, but instead goes directly to Jesus and asks Jesus if he at all cares that she, Martha, is doing all the work by herself. I think that there's some familial ill feeling between these sisters. They do not have the same personalities, and they certainly don't have the same attitude toward life. Martha, in short, does not ask Mary to help her. Martha goes directly to Jesus and orders Jesus, tell her to help me. And Luke tells us that Jesus responds very directly to Martha. He tells her she's worried. She's worried about many tasks, and she's distracted. So Martha wasn't just busy, she's anxious, absorbed with entertaining Jesus and providing a meal to him and all his followers. And remember that Jesus traveled generally with 12 apostles, and we already talked about the women that were part of the entourage. So Martha had a lot of people to feed, probably anywhere from 13 to 25 or more. And all that Martha felt was that Mary, her sister, was engrossed in doing nothing other than listening to Jesus talk. Luke tells us that Martha was the person who invited Jesus into her home. And I think that's where the confusion of motivation arises. I think that Jesus felt his reason for going to the home was to informally preach and teach, to have a conversation with Martha and her sister Mary and all the others invited to the home. On the other hand, Mary was looking forward to meeting Jesus, listening to him, engaging in discussion with him and his followers. And then Martha was honored that this well-known rabbi was a guest at her home. So she was serving drinks and hors d'oeuvres, preparing the dinner and desserts. At that time in that land, kitchens were not always part of the main living area, because in many times of the year it was just too hot to cook in the living area. So the people either cooked outside or on the roof of a home. So Martha may not have even been near Jesus to hear what he was saying. And she was much too preoccupied in what she considered her host duties to be involved in any discussion anyway. I think that Jesus felt it was okay for her to be away, even though she invited him. And I say that only because of the way my grandmother was. We could not just have my grandmother Mary sit down. And my mother was exactly the same way. They were always hovering over us at table, even though there were chairs for them. And nothing anybody in the family could do or say would make any difference. They just simply wouldn't sit down. In this gospel story, now that Martha called Jesus' attention to the fact that she was doing all the work by herself, he called her on it. I'm not making a leap here for what I'm going to say next, because many theologians have interpreted this short passage and have used the word work, again, which is the root of the word deacon. And what is parallel is what Jesus is saying also responds, and also what Jesus responds and also is directly involved with people in this church. Every one of the church members, every one of the deacons, the boards, the committee members, ministers, church employees, and others. And Jesus is telling all of us who are so very, very busy and distracted, don't be distracted, don't be worried by many, many things. The real need is only of one thing. And that one thing is what Mary was doing, and that was listening to what Jesus was teaching, being a student of the kingdom. Some can look at Mary and hold the opinion that she is just sitting passively. And I don't think so. I think Mary was actively listening to what Jesus was preaching. I think she was so engrossed in his preaching and engrossed in a discussion that nothing else mattered. And active listening takes effort. It takes work. And Mary was grounding herself in Jesus' message. Mary was riveted in Jesus' descriptions of the kingdom of God. And I believe what Jesus was talking about is what's in the gospel. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the explanation of the Beatitudes, and telling his parables over and over again. Mary was hungry, receiving Jesus' spirituality to give her the energy to do God's work. And Jesus was responded to the anxiously busy Martha. And what Jesus is telling Martha is that once she hears what Jesus is teaching, everything else will fall properly into place. And I think that's important to remember. Everything else will fall properly into place. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, willing to learn from him and carefully listen to him, then all will be in proper order. After that comes the time to work, the time to serve, the time to minister, the time to feed and be fed, and to do all we're to do in Jesus' name. However, if we are diverted from the teachings of Jesus because we feel that we're too busy to read Scripture or reflect on it, too busy to learn what the kingdom of God is to be through the Gospels, the Beatitude, the Lord's Prayer, the parables, then how can we possibly think that we should do what we truly comprehend to be the mind of Jesus? Jesus refers to this in other teachings also. In the parable of the sower who was throwing seed, and that's in Luke chapter 8, Jesus states that some of the seed, which represents the word of God, was choked by thorn bushes. Jesus then explained that parable, and he said the seeds of the word of God overcome by the concerns of the world. And Jesus explained that the fruitful seeds of the word of God are those that fell on the good soil. And these are the people who, when they hear the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. As Bill mentioned, Luke places today's interesting story between two major passages. Just before this account of Martha and Mary, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that's the story of the guy who was beaten, robbed, and left naked by the side of the road. Then two important religious figures passed him by. But these authorities didn't just pass him by. They actually walked to the other side of the road to not even get close to him. They wanted to avoid him. But then a Samaritan, a rejected foreigner by the Jews of Judea and Galilee, was the only person to help the severely injured guy. The gospel passage which immediately follows the story of what happened at Martha and Mary's house is Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, the prayer we know as the Lord's Prayer. This juxtaposition of the description of Martha and Mary between the parable of the Good Samaritan and the teaching of the Lord's Prayer is what Jesus wants us to know and how Luke gets an important point across to us. The parable of the Good Samaritan shows who neighbor is and how we are to love our neighbor. And in this narrative, Mary demonstrates her love of Jesus and his teaching. Martha expresses her love of Jesus through her hospitality and asks Jesus to consider what the proper order of life should be, with listening at the top of the order. Then when Jesus teaches us, his disciples, the Lord's Prayer, he confirms his prayerful love of his Father and asks us to confirm our prayer life. So through these three passages, Jesus illustrates what it means to put all in proper order. Everyone is our neighbor. Love our neighbor. Listen to the word of God and pray. Summarized another way, love God with all our heart and our mind, with all our strength and all our soul, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Particularly, Jesus' parable shows our neighbors can be victims and Samaritans can save victims. Then in this passage, we are witnesses to Jesus' interaction with women. And all of this, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the narrative story of Martha and Mary, was revolutionary to the people of that time. So we ask, what are the revolutions to the people, our people, now, in this time? There's so much hate and intolerance for so many peoples and groups. And sometimes we say, well, what would Jesus do? We know what Jesus would do. He already said it and he already taught it. And he gave us a parable and then a true story and the best prayer of all time to reflect on and to practice. What Mary did was to take the time to listen to Jesus. And part of my personal reflection after reading this passage and preparing this message brought me to consider the amount of time that I take to actively listen to the Word of God, the divine Word, and to consider the quality of my time in really thinking about what I just read. There are so many and numerous ways to listen to God. We can study Scripture, especially the Gospels. We can read spiritual writers. We can meditate. We can discuss with others, which is one of the purposes of small group Bible study. We can walk or sit quietly in nature. We can listen to sermons. But the key is that we spend the moment that we are in the moment that we are in. Too often, we try to do 2, 3, or even 4 things at one time. I know I'm guilty of that. If we go to some restaurants, George Webb, the Denny's, a Greek restaurant, or the upscale Mason Street Grill. We are able to observe the cooks as they prepare all the meals that they're preparing. And I really marvel at how they can prepare so many meals at one time and do so expertly. So I cannot even imagine how, when they are so busy, they could actively listen to the Word of God, as Mary was doing. But the cooks, like Martha, are doing what she did very well. They and Martha are serving meals, superb meals. But they cannot actively listen because they are doing. They are not in the moment with the Lord at that time in listening. In a recent address to academics who study learning, Georgetown University's Associate Provost for Institutional Renewal, a man by the name of Randy Bass, provided a challenge for both scholars and preachers. He described a visit to the Cape Cod ceramic studio of acclaimed potter Joan Lederman. Joan began decades ago to work with mud discarded from an oceanography institute in her Woods Hole, Massachusetts community. And yes, I had to repeat that 3 or 4 times to get that straight. As Randy carefully examined a piece of her pottery created with sediment from the floors of the oceans, he described how she deepens her learning, continuing to grow as an artist. Working at her wheel, Joan described a moment-by-moment heightened awareness of how mud responds to her touch. That encounter inspired Bass to embrace a similar scrutiny for his academic work and to declare the intense inspection of what we do as we do it, and that's necessary for deep learning. So we know Martha cared. We know that Mary cared. I know that my grandmother Mary cared. And I know that my mom cared. Everybody cared in their own way. And Jesus said that listening was, in this case, more important. We cannot only sit and read Scripture. We cannot only just sit and meditate. And yet, on the other hand, we cannot just be out there doing. And what this story tells us is there must be a balance. And if we are wondering what's more important in the equation, what's more important is to listen. It's more significant. So your and my primary focus has to be in listening listening also. Otherwise, we'll lose our way, become distracted, anxious, worried, and perhaps in this world, even jaded. When the words of Jesus properly reside in our heart and minds, all becomes clear. So our prayer is that we not be worried or distracted by many things and keep focusing on the better part. In my life, I find that work, play, photography, exercise, summer activities, my iPad, computers, grandchildren, family life can all be distractions. I can feel I'm doing something. These are all good things, but I must put all in proper perspective. And it takes focus to actively listen to the Word of God and to reflect on it and to integrate it in our lives. And the prayer is that we all have the strength to do so, because that's what it means to be a student of the kingdom. Amen.